we could begin by praying for each other for a moment, I would appreciate it. I will pray that you, if you will pray that I will speak God's word to you, I will pray that you will hear only what He speaks to you, regardless of what I say. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us. I love these Christmas days. We have the most beautiful Gospels that keep being opened. I know we've had a lot of church in the last week, right? Friday, then Sunday, then Friday, then Sunday. It's like a marathon, but beautiful Gospels that the church is bringing us into this contemplation of this beautiful event. And we have all of these wonderful visual images to help us out. Ever since the time of St. Francis, we've been erecting these manger scenes all over the world. The Vatican keeps its manger scene up until the presentation, February 2nd, 40 days after Christmas. The Vatican still has its manger scene up. And we have, of course, a replica in Pittsburgh. It's amazing. Pittsburgh, of all places, a replica of the Vatican. But beautiful. We have these beautiful opportunities to enter into this meditation on all of these different characters that appear before us. And I love in a special way to meditate on St. Joseph, on his experience of this whole mystery. He's drawn into this mystery. He has profound holiness. He's known as the just man. To be just in Hebrew, in Judaism, is to be holy. He's a saint, is what the scripture is saying. He has this holiness and he has this tremendous love for Our Lady, who is pure, perfectly pure, without sin, not a sinful inclination. It's amazing. And he sees all of that in this beautiful relationship, but then this startling event, she becomes pregnant, but by the intervention of the Holy Spirit. And St. Joseph sees all of that. And God has sent St. Joseph to protect Mary and the baby. They're the stars of the show, but he becomes the star of the show by association. He is called to be the protector, the guardian of Jesus, the guardian of the Holy Family, and the head of the Holy Family. It's amazing. He is the least holy of the three, and he's placed at the head of it. Sounds like the church, doesn't it? You were supposed to laugh at that. That was funny. God places all of the unholy ones in charge of all the rest, the priesthood and religious life. It's the intensive care unit of the Catholic Church. I think you probably figured that out by now. Anyway, St. Joseph, the least holy of the three, is placed over the other two, and he's given to them as a guardian. And so we have, he guards the Holy Family throughout against anyone who would violate it, and he is the veil that he allows entrance or not. And so part of what we discern in the scriptures is how we can gain entrance. It's the ultimate goal of our whole life, so it's rather an important thing, even more important than, you know, the Steelers. Is how we can gain entrance to the Holy Family, how we can draw close to Jesus and Mary. That's the whole goal. And St. Joseph is the filter. He protects, he guards at the door. So some he allows to come close and some not. Now, he never resists in a very strong and aggressive way, and so the ones who have been resisted don't even know that they've been resisted. And that's what happens in the disappearance into Egypt. He simply disappears. Herod is coming to attack. He slaughters all of the innocents under 2 years of age. And he doesn't even know that he's been resisted. As far as he knows, he actually killed Jesus. But St. Joseph just disappears. And if we don't have the right disposition of heart, then it's going to happen also for us. St. Joseph will not allow us to violate this mystery. He'll just take them away. And we won't even know what we're missing. Although we will know in a deeper way, because the deepest longing of our hearts will not be fulfilled. So it's very important for us in these Christmas mysteries to discern how is it that we draw close to the baby? Who are the ones who are allowed to draw close to the baby in this Christmas season? And the first ones we just heard on yesterday, the Feast of Mary, Mother of God, the shepherds were allowed to draw close. Now, I just learned about a week ago from Scott Hahn that the shepherds I always thought kind of this nice thing, that they were, you know, these nice folks out in the field, simple folk, farmers, that kind of thing. Well, Scott Hahn says that in all of his research, he found out that they were probably scoundrels. The shepherds were kind of a second-rate bunch, you know, like organized crime. They were kind of seedy characters, like the gypsies or something. I don't know. Nothing against the gypsies. Well, anyway, I just spoke against the gypsies. It's too late. But the shepherds were kind of a seedy bunch. And so these guys who were a little bit unsavory character, maybe certainly not very eloquent and rustic and rough and whatever at the edges, but they respond to the message that's given them, and in humility, they draw close. So the humble, those who, even though they're not worthy of the mystery, so thank God we all qualify for that, but they're not worthy of the mystery, but they're humble, and so they're able to draw close. Saint Joseph allows them to draw close to Mary and the baby, and they see the fulfillment of what was revealed to them, and they go away rejoicing, praising God and proclaiming the mystery. And then today we get a different picture. And I just learned this from Scott Hahn too. The Magi, see, we have all kinds of different images about the Magi, but the Magi were basically like, you know, 1-800 dial Deborah the prophet or whatever, like these signs, you know, you can have your fortune read, have all the answers to your life discerned, this kind of thing. I hope nobody's ever called that. If they have, it's sin and you should go to confession, but because it's not going to work. But the Magi, it's what they did. They were like soothsayers, witch doctors, this kind of thing. But in humility, even in their twisted ways, God uses that to draw them close. And they realize that something great has taken place. And they're drawn and they make a very long journey. And they make great sacrifices. And they draw close. And it turns out that the practice in the ancient world was to lay gifts before a king that represented one's livelihood. And so if a carpenter were to come before the king, he would lay down his, you know, his hammer and his finest chisels, his saw, whatever it is, the signs of his livelihood, because it was a statement saying, you are the king, and I owe everything I have. I owe my livelihood to you. So that was the act of homage. And that's what the Magi are doing as they draw close. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh are the ways that they discerned the transcendent. They discerned the spirits. That was their livelihood. And so they're coming close out of an act of generosity, and they're laying down their livelihood at the feet of the newborn king. And so we learn that Saint Joseph allows those to draw close who are humble and repentant, like the shepherds, even though they may not be the most eloquent characters, they recognize that and they come to do homage to the king. He allows the humble to draw close, and he also allows the generous to draw close, the Magi who are willing to lay their whole livelihood at the feet of the newborn king, who are willing to make a long journey, willing to make great sacrifices to do him homage. And on the other hand, those who are jealous, those who are controlling, those who manipulate with their power and are oppressive, who are murderous, who are self-centered, like Herod, Saint Joseph will just disappear with the Holy Family. And so we have the invitation in this Holy Eucharist to be like the shepherds and the Magi, or to be like Herod. Are we here to get something out of it? Are we here to plunder and take from the child what we want to make us more powerful, more successful, more fulfilled? Is it about a self-centered action on our parts, like Herod? Or are we here to do him homage? Are we here, like the Magi, to recognize that our whole livelihood is due to him? Are we here, like the shepherds, to recognize that we haven't lived the best lives, but we want to start over today? We want to do him homage. We want to lift him up as the reason for the season, as the reason for our own lives, for everything. We have the choice. Now, we may experience something similar in both cases, because Saint Joseph will just slip away if we're just here for selfish reasons, and we'll carry on as we did before we came. But if we come like the Magi and like the shepherds, we may experience a very deep and beautiful encounter. When Jesus is present before us in his body and blood, we have the chance also in our hearts to lay down our gifts, not gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but whatever they are, our livelihood, to offer Him everything we have, because everything we have, He is the one who gave it to us to begin with. So let us in this Holy Eucharist do Him homage, make an act of love, renew our faith, renew our lives, give ourselves again to Him with the Magi, with the shepherds, with the permission of Saint Joseph.